This is Pastor Joshua Swilly, and you're listening to the Hope United podcast. We pray that this message is a blessing to you.
Well, let's give God the praise today. If you're with us tonight, just shout amen, amen, amen. If you're there with us on the stream, just type amen. Tonight, I'm really excited to have one of my dear friends with me, Bill James. Bill James, will you come up? And I want you to welcome him tonight. So many things to discuss, I believe, that we see going on in our world today. But let's start with, let's start with an open heart and an open spirit tonight. God, I thank you, Lord, that you just bless your word. God, I thank you for what you want to say to us tonight. God, it's not by might or by power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. And we thank you, God, that you would pour out your Spirit fresh on us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Well, I like to try to bring some of the great voices to you that are a part of our family at Hope. And Bill James has been with us for forever. You know,
long time.
Back when I was the youth pastor, he was supporting us back then, and still today, just what an incredible support, prayer, and advisor to this ministry. And so we thank you for all your years of
being a blessing
and pouring yourself out, and you and Cecilia. Just being a blessing to this house.
Well, you guys have been a blessing to us. And I, first of all, before we even go any further, let's like to thank God for giving me the privilege to be here. And just as importantly, thank you, Pastor Josh, for inviting me. Because you've had some great people here speaking. Yeah, you get an old man up here. So let's hope you guys can identify with the elderly group here. Thank you.
Well, that's what's so beautiful about the house of God is that we can all benefit from our different backgrounds and our different ages. And I think that's how the house of God should be, that it's not just one age bracket, it's not just one ethnic background, but we're all coming together from different vantage points and different backgrounds. But I want to talk to you about dealing with the day. Dealing with the day, and we'll go from Luke 12, verse 1 through 4, and we'll just take this little passage. It says, "Meanwhile, the crowds grew until thousands were milling about and stepping on each other, and Jesus turned to the disciples and warned them, 'Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees, their hypocrisy. The time is coming when everything that is covered up will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known to all. Whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you've whispered behind closed doors will be shouted from the housetops for all to hear.' Dear friends, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot do more to you after that, but I'll tell you whom to fear. Fear God, for he has the power to kill you and throw you into hell. Yes, he is the one to fear." Now, as I was just studying and taking a look, I just started to think about the state of affairs. And I was just watching a little excerpt from T.D. Jakes, and I started to think about all the thousands of people, all the tens of thousands of people around the nation that are joining together. And I started to think about the crowd. This passage of scripture is talking about the crowd growing and milling about and stepping on one another. And I thought about when we try to do something, even something good, but we don't have direction or we don't have the right focus, sometimes we can step on one another. Sometimes we can bring harm to one another. Sometimes when we come together, we can have misunderstandings. We can, this scripture says, step on each other. And I think it's so important that we keep our focus on what needs to be focused on, or else we can end up hurting people that are close to us, hurting those that we love. And so in this story, the people are coming to see Jesus. The focus is supposed to be on Jesus, but yet when the crowds gather, they somehow lose their focus and they're now stepping on each other. I think it's very important in this day and age that even when there is something, there is a call to action, we have to make sure that we have compassion, that we have the type of heart, the type of love, that we're not just losing our focus in the midst of all that.
Well, you're absolutely correct, Pastor. But even before we get to the crowds, the first thing you need to do is to make sure we have ourselves together with God. Because if you've got yourself together with God, no matter what the other people may say or do, you're going to do what's right by him. And you've got to be guided by him. And in this day and time of all the turmoil and the crisis we're going through, I found myself getting more and more into prayer than anything else. I'm a little biased, so I have a commercial for Pastor Carol, because the last month she's taken me through the book of Psalms. And I have never felt so entrenched as I listen to you guys sing tonight. It's just singing praise. And what you have to do first before you get in the crowds is get yourself right. And get yourself right with God. So the things that you are doing, it doesn't really matter what the other guy's doing. As long as you are doing what's right by God. I read a bunch now of this Bible that Bishop and Pastor Sonny gave to me in 2002. That they actually had Josh to sign it too. He doesn't remember. But in Daniel 10, it talks about humbling yourself.
Yeah.
See, when you humble yourself, he says he'll come to you and he'll come work with you. Yeah. So before you start taking out these crowds, make sure you are right. And you will absolutely be guided in the right direction. And then you can say to that next guy, hey, let's not do that. Don't set that car on fire. That's not why we're here.
Yeah.
Because you know what's right. Some people are out there for one reason. Some people are out there for another reason. As long as you're out there for the right reason,
yeah,
then you have the ability to impact what goes on.
I think that's so key because, you know, this crowd, there were some people in the crowd that they had lost focus of what was the important thing that they were there to do. And I think in this moment, it's important for us to be unified and us to be focused. You know, some people, it's one thing to be close to Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's another thing to have Jesus inside of you and to be in tune with what God is doing in the moment. And I think that's so imperative with the tragedy and with all that's going on in our nation right now. We have to be in tune with what God is saying.
Yes.
About the issues. We have to be in tune with what God is saying about justice and what God is saying about peace and what God is saying about what's next. And so, you know, we can try to step into it, but it's important that we're not following the crowds, that we're following Jesus.
Correct. That's correct.
I think sometimes when there is a great move or a great call to action, there's some people that really understand the heart of what's going on, and then there's other people that are just following the crowd. And yeah. You told me when everything first started happening with George Floyd, and I was just like, I don't even know how to process this right now. I said, let me call up Bill. And we had this great conversation, and you were kind of schooling me a little bit, which I welcomed. But you told me this is not the first time.
No. Excuse me, but more than anything else, it's frustrating that in the year 2020 we're even having to do these kind of things.
Yeah.
Because it's not the first time. But I will say to you, this is the first time in my life I've had God with me. And I've prayed on this. So, you know, I'm okay with what they're doing because I'm okay with God.
Yeah.
And the right thing is going to happen in these same parallels that you are referring to in chapter 12.
Yeah.
Verse 7, it says, God knows the hair on your head. He knows if we're right with him, we'll be okay. But unless you are black, you don't know what this is like. it's not that everybody is against us. It's just that the same old thing been going on. The key is, and I'm so grateful for this, was the many different people I saw out there this time, that it wasn't just black people, and that people all over the world are saying enough of you beating these kids. You can't just arbitrarily just have this ingrained within you that if you're black and a man, we can do whatever the heck we want to. That's just not right. So when I start seeing people in Australia, Canada, last time I checked, wasn't a lot of black folk around there. It's just about what's doing what's right. And when you are right with God, then you'll be doing the same thing, what's right. And the people around you will be influenced by you because God's put you there. He's put you there. You won't be there by an accident. And I don't think I'm here by an accident. I've asked through this whole thing is for God to give me a platform so I can just talk common sense of what's right by people. I mean, when Jesus is talking, he's talking to everybody. I mean, I heard you say before, the disciples were from everywhere. There wasn't everybody from, you know, Coral Springs. They were from all over the place. So we're going to be having, we'll be having confrontations as we go along for the rest of life. It's how we deal with them. Because not everybody's going to get along with everybody about everything they say. That's not going to happen. But it's how we deal with one another as the people. And I can say this for us. As long as we've humbled ourselves before him, he'll give us the right words to say. And he'll certainly give us the right things to do.
Amen. Amen. We just, again, thank you, Bill, for being here, because we're getting into some territory that we have to work together. We have to enter this conversation together, because there's some of us that don't know exactly all of the narrative. And so we want to stand. We want to be unified, but we have to. This is not one of the things that we can take the lead. Sometimes you have to be the support. But this is one thing that really jumped out at me, because this morning this hit me like a ton of bricks. Jesus turned to his disciples and warned them, "Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees." Now, in this particular passage, this is what Jesus defines as being Pharisaical in this context. He says, "Beware, don't be like the Pharisees because of their hypocrisy and that they're trying to cover things up." And I was like, wow. The church has to be the church. If we say that we stand for love and justice, then we have to stand for love and justice. If we say that we are a people of compassion, we have to all be a people of compassion, even when we don't understand exactly what's going on in our brothers and sisters' lives. We got to say, I'm still a person of love and compassion. I'm going to try to understand. I'm going to try to reach across and to be a help and to be a support and to try to be an agent of change and solution. So Jesus, he turns to his disciples and he warns them, don't be like the Pharisees because of their hypocrisy. And also, the time is coming, the things that they're covering up are going to be revealed.
Yes.
You know, what's done in the dark is going to be brought into the light. What's said in the secret will be known to all. What's whispered behind closed doors will going to be shouted from the rooftops. I really believe, and we started to talk a little bit about this today, I believe this is a sovereign moment where, you know, God didn't cause the tragedy, but God has a way of stepping into the tragedy and saying, I'm going to reveal what's really going on here so that it can be addressed once and for all. And I really want to see the body of Christ. I really want to see hope stand up and take action, for hope to stand up and be agents of change and be agents of restoration, be agents of peace, be agents that bring about love and justice. You know, we can't keep our mouths shut as the church. We have to actually say, how does this Bible pertain to what's going on in my world?
Well, you're absolutely correct. And as I reminded Pastor Josh about Hope United, at a place called Hope, when his father founded the church, There were people from everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, and as Hope is now, there are people from everywhere here. So it's just not like it's one person. There are many different backgrounds. And when I just said about those people in Australia protesting and the people in Canada protesting, I'm not getting really excited about protests, but it tells you what a big scenario that we're involved in with here, what how you treat people. Yeah. And it's all about how we treat people. Yeah. I'm not asking for anything special. I just want to be treated like everybody else is. And unless you were black and born in America, you don't know what that really is like when a cop pulls up behind you. But that doesn't mean you have to do anything crazy. And like I said, the best thing that's happened to me this time, unlike the other marches, and oh, by the way, I've never been involved in a march or any of that. As I told Pastor Josh, they wouldn't let me be a part of the gang when I was growing up because I wanted to ask too many questions. And I'd want to talk and negotiate. But that's not a true gang member, you know, doing those things. So I wouldn't have been a real good.
Kicked out of the gang.
I got kicked out, so I didn't last but a day. But what we have to do is really depend on God to see us through this. As Pastor Josh just said, this didn't just happen. You know, we can't believe that God makes things happen sometimes and not all the time. It's what we do with the opportunities that's put before us. And we as a church, and I told him I would go back to when his father first started this, when Bishop was everywhere. There were people from all everywhere, a member of Hope, and there was hundreds and thousands of people. Well, that's where we are now. It's not thousands of us, but as a small body, we can have the same effect. Because the one thing that you have to have, it's God inside of you. And all you want to do is make sure they do what's right. Now, when you're in that crowd, some of those people could give a hoot about what's right. But if you can see somebody about to start something, and you can just say, wait, let's not do this. Who's to say that they just won't say, well, okay, and go on down the block and maybe do something else stupid. But whatever you do, he just said, whatever happens in the dark will come out. So the good that we do that may be in the dark, it will come out. And who knows what person you may be talking to in any situation, out in the parking lot or at work, that something you may say that's coming from your heart could now, to somebody who hadn't thought about listening to you before, just maybe, because this is going on, they just may listen to what you have to say. Because the time itself, you're not there just spewing dirt and gossip. You're talking truth and wisdom that God has instilled in you. That's why I say I started this out with, you got to first of all get yourself right. Because we can't help anybody unless we've helped ourselves. And again, I can only use myself as an example. And I've got, you know, Pastor Josh and Bishop and Sonny have been here forever. But there are two people, Pastor Clarence and Pastor Carl. These people have been incredible, because to have somebody to pray with and talk to and to help you grow. See, I'm older than anybody here, but I'm telling you, I've grown and learned more recently than I have in my whole life about what it truly means to be faithful and true to God and what he really wants to do inside of me. Because you notice I said me. I didn't say you. Or you, because I don't know what he's going to do inside of you, but I know what he wants to do inside of me. And if I can take what he's doing inside of me and transform that to others who I may come in contact with, that makes us all a better place. And each one of us have that within us as we humble ourselves to him and praise God that what we have inside of us that he's put in there, we can now take and make sure these things that are going on now, that something truly good comes from it. And it's more than just breaking out windows and burning up cars. Something that's truly good that somebody maybe never thought about talking to you at work, well, now for a second, listen to you. And who knows what that one opportunity you get with somebody, when you present whatever it is you want to talk about, it's coming from your heart and it's good, You know, this God we serve can do a lot of things. And one thing he can certainly do is work through us.
Amen. Amen. You know, when I was, you know, just praying about it this week, you know, racism and injustice is nothing new. It's as old as the Bible. And even in Jesus' day, you can see that Jesus, he faced these type of issues. He tackled these type of issues. And we see that he associated with tax collectors, which were reviled in that culture. He went and talked to the woman at the well, which was a Samaritan, which, again, this was a race that they were prejudiced against. They were half-breed Jews. And even among the Jewish culture, they saw certain people as they weren't as spiritual. They weren't as in sync with what God was doing. This person seems like they're from Galilee. You know, they don't even talk right. And so Jesus was constantly bringing people together. You know, when culture tries to divide us, Jesus is trying to unite us. So he's dealing with people coming from different economic backgrounds. He's dealing with people that comes from, you know, different, you know, subgroups and different farther out, you know. And Jesus says, you know, go into all the world. Go into Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts. He's saying, Go to everybody. So go to the people that are full Jewish. Go to the people that are half Jewish. Go to the people that are not even Jewish. Cross all kinds of lines to bring people together and bring them into the Father's house. So Jesus actually had a very strong message of equality and unity and love. And, you know, when Jesus had the opportunity to say, "Hey, get down and serve me," he said, "No, I'm gonna get down and I'm gonna wash the disciples' feet." He said, "You called me master, but today I'm calling you friends."
Yes.
And so
yes.
Jesus was about leveling the playing field, about bringing everybody to the table, and there being an equal place for everybody. And so I think, you know, our hearts need to be asking these questions. How do we bring everybody to a place of equality at the table? Because I believe that's what the kingdom of God is going to be. There's not going to be a black section and a white section and an Asian section and a Hispanic section of heaven. We're all going to be together, and it's beautiful. But I think about, what does the church need to be doing right now to model the kingdom of heaven on earth? What does the church need to be doing to stand up and say, that's not okay? This is the way it's supposed to be.
Well, I think the most important thing we can do as a church, as any church, is to be an example. I mean, we can't sit here and say one thing and then go out there and do something else. It's always more easily said than done. But the life you live is you got to practice what you preach. Very simple. So I don't think there's anything spectacular that we're going to do. I just think we need to do what's right. And we can't change years. And one of the things I got out of the Bible, I must admit, heck, they've been fighting forever. So we're not going to come along and all of a sudden say, well, gee, what a happy, joyous people we're going to be forever. The entire world. Won't happen. It's not going to happen. But what we can do is have peace. And we want to strive for peace. And that's the one thing. God bless. I've got to mention my wife tonight. boy, I'm truly blessed. But what we're trying to do now is get into an area of peace. Peace, because if we can just be at peace, you can deal with anything. Yeah. It's when you get into the emotional states, and it happens to all of us.
Yes, it does.
Every single one of us. And we've got to, but what I found out, this book right here, this thing will help you through anything. And peace, he says over and over and over. I told you about Daniel 10, 12 that I'm reading. I challenge you to go down to Daniel 10, I think it's 18, when it says, be at peace. Mm-hmm. Peace. Be strong. Yeah. these are the things that we have to do and we have to exemplify as the church to those outside of us. Yeah. So they'll want to kind of be like us, so to speak. And it's going to be a long road. It's not going to be okay day after tomorrow. But what will happen is that we do have to start somewhere. And I've been in this for a long time. I can remember when Martin Luther King was assassinated. I mean, I'm from Dallas, Texas. I remember when they assassinated John F. Kennedy. And one of my proudest moments was in college. My wife was the editor of the paper in school. And Martin Luther King Sr. came to speak at our school. And he liked my wife, this college student. So my wife was, you know, hanging out with Martin Luther King Sr. Told me she was only 18, so nothing. Anyway, that was a plug for my wife. And but guys, it really comes down to us and the advantages that you get, because you never know when you're going to get an opportunity to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
Or be in the position to make an impact on what somebody may think. And I will, you guys will get tired of hearing me say this. It all starts with us here and where we are with God. And if we start out by humbling ourselves before him, he will, I promise you, he will show us the way to go.
Amen. Amen. And then Jesus kind of takes it down a different route when he says, "Dear friends, don't be afraid." I think this message during the pandemic and now even, you know, just going through this tragedy and trying to wade through this kind of social unrest is saying, don't be afraid. Have faith instead of fear. I'm not going to be afraid of what tomorrow may bring, but I'm going to have faith. Jesus says, don't be afraid. Even of those who want to kill your body.
Yes.
The worst they can do is actually kill your body. They can't do anything more than that. He says, rather, fear the Lord. Put your focus on the Lord. Focus on that. I was talking with some of our men this morning, and one of them was saying, you know, that George Floyd was a believer, and he's, you know, we know that the believers are with the Lord. And so the worst that somebody can do is actually to kill your body. Jesus is saying, put your focus on God, even in moments when it feels like things are out of control and it feels like hope is scarce and things are on an emotional high. Can we refocus, make sure that we're focused on Jesus? Because if not, then we become like the crowd at the beginning of the story. We're stepping on each other. And I find that that happens on Facebook. Somebody says something and somebody jumps all over that. And then somebody says something and somebody jumps all over that. But imagine if everybody that wanted in any way to somehow be a help, if we found a unification point and work together, how much more would we get accomplished than if we're stepping on one another? There's infighting. This person's saying, well, your commitment isn't as strong as my commitment, or you're not doing enough. What if we found unification points and said, let's work together on whatever level we can work together to begin to sort these issues out in our nation and work together as a people? You know, we have to have a focus if we want to get things done. We have to be in unity and have a point of focus if we want to move the conversation forward.
Oh, I agree 100%. The question is, though, there is no one size that fits all.
Yeah,
we're all different people. So there's not going to be a one point where we all come together and say we're all happy as one. What will happen is that we all come together and agree as one.
Yeah.
Okay? So what we want to do is make sure what it is we're agreeing upon. And I'll give you a perfect example, Pastor, and I hope I don't go too far off. They got this thing about defunding the police. Well, I thought that was a ludicrous idea. My wife and I, we found stuff we agreed upon. Until my daughter brought it to our attention that they defund stuff all the time. Defunding the police is not taking the money out of the police department. It's taking some of the money and reapplying it. the police chief, I was just told, of New Jersey, took $250,000 out of their budget and started 2 years ago on working on police training, on apprehension. Well, what happened with Floyd? It was the way he was apprehended. Well, my daughter, you young people, y'all think of stuff. But so that makes sense. But there's different ways you can perceive defunding police. So if we can come together on those little kind of things and get a common ground on what we think, because I think that's actually a good idea, because literally, I didn't want to defund the police. Somebody got to protect me. You remember I told you, I'm not a gang guy. I can't be fighting and all that kind of stuff, okay? But there is a right and a wrong way to do things. And I think as long as we as the church stay on the right side, don't succumb to the temptations of that Facebook stuff that he's talking about that I don't do. But what you have to do is stay on the right side and stay focused on what it is we're going to do. Because we got a battle, folks. This is not going to be fixed day after tomorrow. Yeah. This is going to be a generational thing where your kids and your kids' kids, because this has been generations for us to get here. So it's going to take a while to get this okay. I think the best thing about it is at least there are so many people now that says, let's do something. Because what you have done is one thing, it's not right. So whether Mr. Floyd was a Christian or not, I don't care. What they did to the guy was not right. Yeah. And that's all I'm saying. Let's just do the right things. Yes. And again, I'll say this, it's more easily said than done. And it won't happen overnight. But if we persist and we just stay at it, God will make it happen, okay? God will make it happen. Psalms 37, it says, wait on the Lord. Wait.
Yeah.
We just need to do our part and wait, because he's going to do his part. But we need to make sure we put ourselves in position to do as he asked us to do and wait patiently on him.
Amen. Amen. Well, I would like to pray. I think everything begins with prayer. You know, it's a conversation with God. It's a conversation with each other. Prayer is a conversation with God. And that gives us the wisdom and the strength to be able to have conversations with each other and have conversations with others that are outside of our circle to say, how can we make a difference in this hour? So let me pray, and you could pray after me, Brother Bill, because I'd love to have you pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for giving us the strength, God. Sometimes we go through things. Sometimes there's people that are close to us that are going through things. And you're the one that gives us strength. You are our refuge. You are our strong tower. God, the righteous can run into you and be saved. God, I thank you, Lord, that you would give us the strength to take the right type of action. Not just any action, not just being a part of the crowd, not just stepping on each other's toes or stepping on each other, God, but that we would have the right type of action. Action that is based and founded in love, that's founded in faith, that's founded in compassion. God, and I thank you, Lord, that the church would be your front runner, that your church would be your hands and feet to bring solution to a nation that is hurting, a part of our nation that has dealt with things that they never, ever, ever should have had to deal with. God, give us the love and compassion and wisdom to fix things that need to be fixed in our nation and in our culture.
Father God, we just come before you tonight with praise, honor, and glory. Thanks be unto you. Father, you have put us in a position to do your will. And your will for this nation, for this world, is peace. And we ask that you take each one of us, take our hearts, and let us be able to touch others. And how you are with peace, let our faith in you be as strong as it can be. Because believing in you, having the faith, trust, and hope that through you, Father, there will be peace through our land. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Please consider planting a seed in this ministry. Any seed helps us get the gospel message out to those that would otherwise not hear it. If you want to give, please click the link below in the episode notes. If you're in the area, come visit us in Pembroke Pines, Florida. May God bless you, and may you possess the promise God has for you.